Second book of Kings, chapter 5, please, and verse number 1. We're going to be reading 5 scriptures, and in each of the scriptures, there is one word that I want you to watch out for. It is the word but. Second Kings, chapter 5, and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. Now will you turn over to the book of Job, please, and to chapter number 14. Job chapter 14, and for the sake of time, we're just going to read the immediate verses that we are going to think about. Verse number 10. Job chapter 14 and verse number 10, and we have our word right at the commencement of the verse. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? But man dieth. Then I want you to turn over further to the book of Isaiah and to chapter 53, please. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse number 4 and verse number 5, please. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But he was wounded. Then over to the New Testament for 2 final readings in the book of the Hebrews, please, and in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. But this man. Our final reading is in John's Gospel and in chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, please, and chapter 18. We shall read from verse 37. We have to go back there to get the connection. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, the Lord Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. But Barabbas. And the divine commentary is, Now Barabbas was a robber. The Lord will bless, we know, the public reading of his precious word to our hearts. With the little assistance that I gave you a moment ago, you will have been able to follow easily the scriptures that we have read together and get a little idea of what is on my mind and heart in relation to the gospel just now. It is to you, dear unsaved ones, that we want to speak. I would like to remind you straight away that you have not found yourself in this conference gathering by chance. Neither have you come here only by invitation. I would like to remind you that you have been brought here by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has crossed your path and has so arranged things that you find yourself right now in a gospel meeting, hearing the message of the gospel, having an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, to know your sins forgiven and peace with God, to be eternally assured of heaven when life is past. And my dear friend, tonight you can enter into the good of this by a conscious acceptance of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He died for you. He shed his precious blood. And my dear friend, tonight you can know peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have also a solemn duty to perform, and that is to warn you, having heard the gospel message, if you reject the Lord Jesus, if you turn your back on him, if in the language of our last scripture, you would say, not this man, and my dear friend, it would be your last opportunity, then could I remind you solemnly, with the book of God before me, that you would be lost and doomed and damned for God's eternity. My friend, we don't put a tooth in it. We have no desire to do this. We want to speak solemnly and clearly to you because we have this responsibility with you before us this evening. Now, I want you to think of these five buts. And if I may line out for you my little message, it will help you to follow me step by step. I want you to think, first of all, in 2 Kings chapter 5, there we have what I want to call a but that spoils everything. As we come to Job chapter 10 and chapter 14 and verse 10, there we have a but that ends everything. But man dieth. But my friend, let me very quickly say this. It only ends everything in relation to this life. And then it opens the doors of a never-ending eternity. Because remember, when you say goodbye to this life, you are going to live forever, either with the Lord Jesus in glory, or down in the lake of fire. A but that ends everything. We will go a little bit further with that in a moment. Then I love Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And there we have a but that means everything. But he was wounded for our transgressions. My dear friend, we want to show you tonight that that can mean everything to you. The glorious fact that the Lord Jesus died at Calvary. And then I want you to think of that lovely, soul-thrilling word in Hebrews chapter 10. But this man, this glorious man, the man Christ Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down. And the very fact that tonight on heaven's throne, there's a seated Christ, it seals salvation. It makes salvation eternally secure. And then finally, in John's Gospel chapter 18 and verse 40, there we have a but that decides everything. We are not going to ask you to come to the front tonight or any other night. We're not going to ask you to raise a hand or sign a card, and yet, before you leave this auditorium, you will decide. You will either decide for heaven by accepting Christ, or, my dear friend, you will decide again for hell and the lake of fire by turning your back on the Savior. Now come back to 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. A but that spoils everything. Concerning Naaman, we read these words, but he was a leper. If I were going to take Naaman as a subject tonight, I would show you his points of advantage. A captain, a great man with his master. He was honorable. He was a mighty man in valor. He was a man that had servants. He was a married man, and more likely had a very nice home. But my dear friend, there was one dreadful blot. The man was a leper. Now, in the Word of God, when you consider leprosy, you have a most effective picture of the sinner. I believe that Isaiah, as he writes his book, his message is colored by his introduction and by his knowledge of Uzziah the king. You remember that man, he died a leper. And you remember when Isaiah lifted his pen in Isaiah chapter 1, he describes Israel, and my dear friend, down through the ages, a description of the sinner in his sin. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. My dear friend, let me tell you, that leprosy in the case of Naaman, you'll read further about it in Leviticus chapter 14. You remember leprosy? It causes separation. It causes pain. And like sin, leprosy, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. My dear friend, tonight, I want you to remember that as God looks down, he does not see your outward veneer. He does not see the clothes that you're wearing. He does not even see the pretense, maybe, that you're putting up. As God looks down, he sees into the innermost recesses of your heart. What does the book of God say about that heart of yours? Young lady, you may be still young. My dear boy, you may still just be a teenager, maybe below that. And yet the Word of God says that that heart of yours is deceitful and desperately wicked. My dear friend, the Word of God makes a sweeping statement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to remind you solemnly that that sin of yours like as in the case of a leper, does cause separation. And it will cause eternal separation. And I would believe tonight that there are those in this gathering, boys and girls, and your loved ones are saved and going to heaven. Maybe you've a saved Sunday school teacher and she is going to heaven. My dear friend, could I remind you solemnly that sin of yours, if it's not forgiven, will separate you eternally from your loved ones, will separate you from the Lord Jesus, will separate you from the glories of heaven. I can remember on one occasion when we were leaving Britain and going to the West Indies. We were in the docks at Liverpool. We were standing on the deck of that great ship. She was about to slip out into the Atlantic. And the folk on deck, they had these ticker tapes. They were holding them. And their friends down below, they were holding the other end of the tape. And then the whistle blew in the ship. And very slowly the ship started to move out from the shore. And I watched those folk with the tears running down their cheeks. And they held on and on as long as they could. And then the last link was severed. I heard some of them crying and saying, "We'll see you again." But young man, young lady, let me remind you. If you die without Christ, you'll never see your loved ones again. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come in the silent watches of the night, it's goodbye. So tonight when you're saying goodnight to them, take a good look at them. You might never see them again because of your sin. Sin separates. My dear friend, it could bring for you eternal separation. The first family on earth were separated. And there's many a dear man, a dear woman, and they're breaking their hearts tonight because loved ones have slipped out into eternity. Not saved. A but that spoils everything. But he was a leper. I have to leave that because my time is going so rapidly. And I want you to come to verse number 10 of Job 14. There, my dear friend, we have the solemn statement. And if nothing else grips your heart tonight, I trust that you will put your hand on your own breast as we quote again the words, "But man dieth." Young man, you die. The word of God says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die," Hebrews chapter 9. And my dear friend, I want to remind you again that God has drawn a line across your path and you'll never put a foot over that line. My Bible says that God hath appointed their bounds and they cannot pass. I would suggest in this audience tonight, if some of you could look at God's timetable in relation to you. Young man, you wouldn't leave the building tonight until you are saved. I nearly hesitate to make a personal note, and yet I'm going to make it. The city has been shocked
in recent days. A dear one suddenly called into the glory, but she was saved. And I would challenge you, and remember, young man, you're not immune. Young lady, you're not immune. And could I remind your heart that if the news went round the city again, that you'd gone? Oh, the tragedy. The hymn writer has penned the words, to die without Christ, have you count the cost? To die without Christ and your soul to be lost. Young man, you may be having your last Easter. Thank God, young lady, you're spending it within the scope of a gospel meeting and loved ones around praying for you. Next Easter, that body could be crumbling in the grave. The nice clothes could be gone. The Easter bonnets could be gone. Your body crumbling in the grave, but your soul there. Because remember, death is desperate and final as regards this life. It smashes all our prospects. It puts an end to all our plans. But dear friend, dear unsaved one, death slams the door of heaven in your face. Our West Indian brethren, when they're preaching, they very often say this: there's no repentance offered to the dead, there's no pardon beyond the grave. I leave those words with you. But man dieth. Dear friend, it's a book that ends everything as regards life. And I want to quote, and I would desire to quote it in the fear of God. It's for someone in this meeting tonight, I don't know who. He that being often reproved. Do you fit? Young man, do you fit in? Young lady, do you fit in here? He that being often reproved, and the and is not there. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. And I would suggest to you that you are harder tonight than you were this time last. And if you're ever going to be saved in God's name, hurry up. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Suddenly destroyed. And oh, the finality of it. And that, without remedy. But man dieth. It's a but. That ends everything. Let me quote to you the lovely words of Isaiah 53. And verse 5. And here, my dear friend, we have a but that means everything. Is there a burdened soul in this gathering? Oh, maybe for a long time you've longed to be saved. Could I say, don't miss it? Because you know there's just a danger of you slipping on and on and on and on, and then you drop over and that's it. If you would like to be saved tonight,
the preachers, they would say, don't let sleep come to your eyes until you know Christ is in them. Listen to the words of life. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And friend, I want to make it more personal. I want to come closer in this gathering tonight. And I love to quote it like this. But he was wounded for my transgressions. A young fellow of 17, one Monday morning away and put it down in Northern Ireland, my head down, burdened with a sense of my sin. I realized that the Lord Jesus had died on the cross for me. But he was wounded for my transgressions. Like to be saved tonight? Would you? Put your name in. But he was wounded for Jack Noble's transgressions. He was bruised for Jack Noble's iniquities. The price of Jack Noble's peace was laid on him. Just like Isaac that day, the cords were cut and he was removed forever from the danger of the fire. As he watched that ram being bound and its knife ebbing out on the altar, he could have said, "Take from me, my dear friend. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The price of my peace was laid upon him." And faith grasps the glorious truth, and with his stripes I am healed. And if you've heard me quoting that verse, and I'm sure most of you have, you know I love to quote afterwards the words, "Wounded for me." Yes, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. On my transgressions. You see, my dear friend, God doesn't want two payments for one debt. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. And my dear friend, as I come to Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to think that there we have a bud that seals everything. Let me tell you tonight, and it gives me joy, great joy to tell you, that God was satisfied with the work of Christ on my account and on yours. And tonight on heaven's throne, there's a seated man. There were no seats in the tabernacle for the priests or even for the high priest. Their work was never complete. But this man, this glorious man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever at Calvary, my dear friend, he died. God raised him from the dead, and tonight the Savior lives. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down. Tonight, he would reach out hands that were scarred at Calvary, and he would invite you to come. The decision is yours. I would suggest to you just very quickly before I look at my last text for a moment that a seated Christ would suggest three things. It would suggest a finished work, the work of Calvary. It would suggest a satisfied God.
and will suggest a completed salvation. And now, you have a decision to make. Not an outward show, but you have a decision to make. And I want just now to think of that 40th verse of John 18. And I would quote the words of the hymn writer, "What will you do with Jesus? The call comes more clear. The solemn words are sounding in every listening ear. Eternal life's in the question, and joy through eternity. Then, what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be?" Crowd said, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And I never feel but marvel at the Holy Spirit's comment. Now Barabbas was a robber. "Young man, ere I sit down, let me say this. Young lady, it applies to you. I care not, and I have not time now to even attempt to go down the list, but I care not what it is that's keeping you from the Savior. It's a robber this evening. You have a little calculation to do. Here it is. And you can look at it with all its thrills, if you like, with all its beauties. Here is Christ. You have a choice to make. You each a choice must make. The one leads upward to the sky, the other downward. Downward. Would you dare say tonight, 'Not this man, but Barabbas'? Would you? Oh, could I hear some sinner say, 'I will go, put my hand in Christ. From Christ I cannot longer stay. I will go. My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I've been with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go.' May the Lord bless this one."